FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's March 13th, 2018. Well, we've seen remarkable things happening on the jobs front. 313,000 new jobs announced just a couple of days ago. Hey, we're seeing unemployment claims at their lowest in nearly two generations. What does it all mean? Is this the peak? Well, let's find out. Hey, first, as always, join the conversation. Be part of the show. Email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, Al Quesada is here with us now. Al, you're president, owner of CKS Summit Group. It's been around since 96, an all-around expert in economics, a member of presidential Who's Who and Million Dollar Roundtable. Well, welcome back to the show, Al.
Hey, thank you for having me, Kerry.
So, jobless claims and the jobs picture. Is there more good news to come, or is this the peak?
Well, I do feel that there is more, that there should be more to come, because, you know, we're looking at unemployment the way that is put in front of the media, because you really have two unemployment figures, the one that the media uses, and then there's the real unemployment. And when we look at the real unemployment, it's sitting somewhere around 8.1%. So that tells us there's still room for more job growth and more job creation. Now, that, of course, is going to happen depending on so many variables as to what this administration is going to be doing as far as helping to keep promoting that upward motion. You know, things like tariffs, things like that. When people hear that, that usually causes job angst. It can lead to stunting growth. So those are the type of things that we're looking at and saying, you know, is this really the peak? I think this is certainly the best we've been in, like you said, over a couple of decades here. So it is really encouraging. However, I think if things are done correctly, there's still a little bit more room for even better news.
Well, so when you say 8.1% is the real unemployment rate, what's that number based on?
Well, that number is based on everything, because remember, what the media reports is the number that includes people that are just been unemployed within 6 months and have been actively looking for a job within the last couple of weeks. So if they're not doing that, they don't get counted and they drop off the books. So the real unemployment, which is the U6, actually picks up everything. It picks up those that are disenchanted. It picks up those that are working, however, should be working full time. Those that are still looking for jobs, those that are not in the job market at all. So it gives you a more truer picture of where the real unemployment sits.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last job report actually was good news on a number of fronts. We'd seen the workforce participation rate stalled out, not increasing, had actually gone down over the past 8 years, starting to tick up. So that kind of goes along with your thesis, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, we've had a lot of good news. The only really disappointing news to me and to many others is that wage growth didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit the numbers that people were expecting. So the jobs are coming, but the wages have been a bit stagnant. Now, as the labor market gets tighter and tighter, you know, I feel that that's going to actually hopefully start pushing wages up, because with a tight market, you know, you're going to get a lot of employers who are they're going to be too eager to go try to find somebody else, and they want to keep what they have. And I think that might hopefully start as if we get a more tight market, it might actually start pushing the wages up and start hitting some of the targets that it's supposed to.
Right. And that's a good thing. Obviously, well, even if wages haven't gone up that much, the tax increase is, I should say, the tax reform measure, tax decrease, is actually pushing up real wages anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, to an extent. It all depends on where you're at. And, you know, there's winners and there's people that are going to stay pretty much the same. And then there are some losers with this tax reform. So it all really depends. Higher wage earners, of course, are probably a little bit bigger winners. Medium income probably might see some relief, a little bit more money coming into their pockets, not much. And then probably some in the lower end might see a slight increase. So, you know, it all depends on where you fall in that whole spectrum.
Yeah, but there's certainly more winners than losers, aren't there?
Yeah, in totality, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for the people themselves, but, you know, with the ability for the corporations, that was a huge win with the corporations, with corporate taxes being reduced down to 20-21%. It allows them to really free up a lot of cash. And hopefully that's an infusion into more, hopefully that money will be infused more into the top line, which is growth within the company.
Yeah. So corporate profits going way up, that should result in the so-called trickle down, right?
That's supposed to be the way it's supposed to work. So let's see how that happens. It all depends on how they use that money. You know, they have access to billions and billions of dollars overseas. It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to bring some of that money back. It's going to be interesting to see if they're going to go back and just pour it to buybacks, or are they going to really, you know, try to create growth. So if they create growth, if it really goes to work on the growth side of their companies and things like that, I think that then you'll start really seeing that trickle down effect.
Hey, so what about psychology, though? The psychology seems to have turned around and is quite upbeat throughout the economy, whether it's business owners, consumer confidence, purchasing manager index, whatever it might be. Optimism seems to be the rule of the day.
Yeah, it is. And usually you see that because, you know, once you start looking at your 401k, then they're up. Usually you get a little bit more of a beat than you believe to things that are better than they're not. You know, we still need to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, there still might be some headwinds out there. Got to pay really close attention to the bond market and see what that's going on. Got to pay attention to short term and long term rates and see what's happening with that, because a lot of that will probably have a lot to do with how long this our euphoric stage last.
Yeah, so clearly rates are going up. We see mortgage rates, 30-year mortgage fixed rate at close to 4.4%, probably higher for many of you out there. So real estate, you see that new mortgage applications are down 20%. Refis are probably way down. So
yes.
How important is that?
Well, it's real important because, you know, real estate is the big driver of this country. You know, new construction, new buys, new everything. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these rates are going to affect new home buyers and the mortgage business and things like that. So as rates go up, things slow down. So there's always a cause and effect to this. That's why we've been harping on the fact that we really need to look at that bond market and keep an eye on that, because that's going to be a real tall tale of, you know, how long this whole streak is going to go.
Yeah, and that really is the question. I mean, the bull market in stocks is going to be 9 years old, near record, and you wonder, like, what else can the stock market do here?
Yeah, and that's why, too, you know, you have to really, really start paying close attention to your time horizon. You know, if you're within, you know, 5 to 10 years of retirement, or within the first 5 years of retirement, in retirement already, you really have to start really thinking hard as to when it's time to take some of these gains off the table and things like that, because things change rather quickly. Now, if you're younger and things like, you know, if you're younger, you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, then of course, then time is on your side. And you know, good things can still happen, and you know, time will be your ally. But as you get closer to these targets of actual retirement and things like that, you know, time becomes your enemy. So really, I think it's really crucial times now for the individual investor, especially those that are nearing retirement, or those that are just in a few years of their early part of their retirement. You got to be really careful with not making mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, because it seems it's a lot harder to make it back once you lose it than it is to not lose it in the first place, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look for when we lost all that money in 2003, it took us all the way to 2007 to get back for 2007. It took all the way through about 2012, 2013 to get back. But, you know, you're looking at 6-7 year runs. So that's why it's really important to understand that, you know, as long as you're not touching the money and you have time, the markets will be in your favor. But once you start going to distribution, once you start getting closer to that time when you need the money, then it really becomes prevalent that you'll really watch and really start, instead of managing growth, you have to manage your risk.
Yeah. So we all need to be risk managers, as you've heard on this show many times before. And how best do you manage risk in this type of market when you've seen these large increases, large appreciation in the market? What do you do?
Well, here's where you have to have that discipline and you know, there's need and greed. And, you know, you always have to ask yourself, if will an additional 10 to 15% really change my life? Am I going to quit my job today? Am I going to, you know, go buy a bunch of homes because I'm retired now? Or will a 50% drop in the market change your life? If you're close to retirement, does that mean now you're going to have to work an extra 6 years? Or if you're in retirement, does that mean you have to reduce your standard of living because you've lost so much? Those are the type of questions you have to ask yourself. What's more important? So here's where discipline really, the ability to have self-control and understand that, you know, kind of like the old Kenny Rogers song, you gotta know when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's kind of where I think people need to really focus on.
Right. So are you in favor of real estate to diversify your portfolio risk?
Diversifying into real estate, diversifying into income producing assets, things like that, can, you know, be good. But again, it all depends on the individual. It all depends on how the money's going to be used. When is it going to be used? There's so many variables. So to do a blanket statement is really tough to do. However, I do think that risk diversification is more important than anything else.
So diversify, I guess. But if you're talking about diversifying when you're putting it into bonds while rates are going up, that's a guaranteed loser, isn't it?
Well, it all depends. It all depends on what type of bonds you're buying and the durations and things like that. Because you have to understand, a bond fund is really the issue sometimes, because bond funds don't have a maturity date and they don't have a stated rate of return. When you're buying true bonds, if you buy individual bonds, of course, and of course you have the stated interest and you have the stated maturity date, and if the company's still solvent, then you know you get your money back. So there's a lot of things that out there that depending on how it's managed, that not just bonds, but other instruments that can help generate assets and help that portfolio grow organically. And so those are always options to explore.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, so if there's one piece of advice you can give to those of you out there listening, what would it be, Al?
Stay vigilant, listen, and manage risk.
All right. I think that's sound advice. Hey, people want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. What's the best place to go?
Just look for us on the web at summitgp.com. That's SUMMITGP.com. Or look us up on Facebook, you know, CKS Summit Group.
All right. Hey, you've been listening to Al Quesada, and Al's got some pretty sound advice for all of you. If you want to find out more, you want to get involved, engage in the show, please email us, kl@carrylutz.com. The Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Al, thanks so much for coming back on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.